This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Hello and welcome to In the News This Week, the podcast from some of the team behind Have I Got News For You, where we take you through our picks of the news this week when the TV show can't.
We'll be looking at both the serious and not so serious news items and trying to convince each other of which story we think would have been perfect for the show if it was on air.
Which it isn't. But let's introduce ourselves anyway. I'm Emerald Paston. I write on Have I Got News For You.
I'm Jack Harris, the sometimes producer of the show.
I'm Mike Raymond, sometimes series producer of the show.
And I'm Queenie Miller, the picture researcher for the show, which is obviously essential for a podcast.
Absolutely key.
Hello, everyone. This is weird. So,
hello.
Not only have we been downgraded from the Hattrick main office and then to the basement, we've now been kicked out of the building.
Sent home.
We all turned up and the doors were locked and the lights were off.
Our passes have been rescinded, haven't they?
Yeah, we're recording from home because that's what people do now, apparently. Also because Queenie...
I'm coming live at you from Edinburgh. The Edinburgh Fringe Festival. The cheapest festival in the world.
Let's get into round one. And the big story this week is Rachel Reeves, the new Labour Chancellor, who's accusing the Tories and Jeremy Hunt of leaving a £22 billion hole in public finances. Eat your heart out, Katie Price.
I just thought, pension cuts? We're so back. Tories are back, baby. I was so worried about this Labour government not being interesting enough.
I don't think any of us are going to reach pension age, as in just because pension age is just going to become...
What are you planning, Mike?
150. Sounded like I was going to a dark place, but I wasn't.
All the papers are saying they're going to come out on Monday and basically give themselves cover for, like, there is no money kind of announcement. And I quite liked it because you had, like, the Institute for Fiscal Studies... Again, really exciting, sexy group. But they were saying, look, we're kind of saying in the election campaign that things are really bad. And the exact quote of the chief was that he said, if a new government comes into power and pretends they're shocked about the state of the public finances, the IFS are going to be very rude. And you think, oh.
That's damning.
I'd love to know what being very rude looks like. Is it just like when they sign off their emails, it's like warmest regards? Ooh. Rather than the very warmest regards.
Or just regards.
That's extremely rude, Mike. That's too far.
I'm not having it. They said, oh, it's a cover-up and no one knew. I'm like, no one's seen a GP or got on a train north of Watford for over a year. What part of this country's falling apart did people not...
Are people surprised by?
Oh, my God, Labour have discovered that things aren't going very well economically. Everyone knew it.
There was one thing they were saying, that they spent hundreds of millions... on social media for ministers. And I was like, that definitely sounds made up.
What, their output?
Yeah.
That cost hundreds of millions?
Yeah, we definitely pull up some classic examples of Tory social media.
Rishi Sunak had some real classic.
Yeah, Sunak playing cricket in Downing Street.
Filling up the tea.
All the blank flip charts that could be manipulated, constantly putting them up.
Yeah.
I actually think this is worth the amount of money we spent on it.
We're still talking about it now, aren't we? So... It's kind of quite a wild claim to say that, you know, they're spending hundreds of millions. But Darren Jones was backed up by Lee Kane, former director of communications. So you think he knows his stuff, Lee Kane. So if he's agreeing with you, you know you're on a good thing.
So Lee Kane is the guy who used to dress as a chicken for one of the newspapers.
It was the Mirror, I think.
Why was he dressing up as a chicken?
He used to harass politicians. So he'd harass David Cameron because he wouldn't make a decision or anything.
And then what did he turn into after that?
I don't know if we can say that on air, can we? Mike and I spoke to him, didn't we, Mike?
We did. We made this terrible political show for Channel 4. And I'll stand by that and you can put that in a podcast because it was awful.
We spoke to quite a few directors of communications, didn't we?
Damien McBride.
Oh, yes.
Damien McBride.
He was back in government.
Yeah.
Mike, great fact. What's Damien McBride fact? Love this.
We were on a Zoom with him. He was double fisting soft drinks.
You can't use that phrase and then have a pause. That was too much suspense.
He was just chain drinking soft drinks.
Yeah.
He was really helpful, but he was just absolutely knocking him back. I text Mike this week because they've got him in for some kind of minister, and text Mike to say, get the soft drinks in.
Yeah.
Parliament going to be absolutely raided for Sprites and cans of Diet Coke.
I think it was a Lilt and an Iron Brew. Nice. Other tropical soft drinks are available.
Is Iron Brew tropical?
Lilt.
How did we get here?
Anyway. Just a quick question I would ask off the back of the £100 million spent on social media for Tories. What new direction have the Labour Party taken to kind of show they're different to this?
On social media? Or just promotion?
Well, on
in
communications.
General.
Communications.
Ooh. They're using only landlines.
They're investing in carrier pigeons.
Like, you're not far off.
No.
That's not true.
No. There was a question put to Downing Street to say, how many faxes have you received since you won the election? And Downing Street have currently received 3 faxes, which they turned into emails. So they're still keeping alive the old technology. They're not leaving it behind, which is good to know. So
Keir Starmer strikes me as someone who'd like collect fax machines.
Those 3 faxes were just to test his new 3 fax machines that he's picked up to add to his collection, I'm pretty sure.
She says, hi, Keir. Hope you're well. From Keir.
I enjoyed Jeremy Hunt's reaction when he was in the chamber and Rachel Reeves was going through it all. Mm. The way I saw it reported, okay, he started off shouting the word rubbish over and over again. Then he moved on to absolute rubbish. Then he moved on to, you know, that's rubbish. And finally, he ended with, you know, that's absolute rubbish. So,
which is my favourite radio station.
Yeah. I don't know what it says about the state of things at the moment, but I found myself agreeing with a lot of what Jeremy Hunt was saying.
You know, he is right to an extent in that Labour did say they weren't going to put up taxes. And they absolutely dodged talking about that.
For working people.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I mean, it seems to me that Keir Starmer's really cozied up to business the way Blair did. And the way the Tories always do. I'm sort of like, where's the wiggle room? Because if you're not going to go after everyone at the top, but you're saying you're going to protect everyone at the bottom, where's the squeeze going to come? Mm. And I think you could do a fun game with this. Labour going full sort of Del Boy, only fools and horses to try and find money, make money, save money. So they brought up the whole loan the Elgin Marbles back to Greece. You know, make some money out of that.
They're going to cancel these 40... imaginary hospitals that were always imaginary before. So they've kind of, the Tories have said, we're going to build 40 hospitals, and they never did.
They said, we built 40 hospitals.
Oh, yeah, okay, so then they're not made up.
They said they'd built them,
yeah,
and then they're going to cancel the hospitals that they built that don't exist. And then there was a thing in the papers today saying the government will meet in with Universal Studios to try and build a theme park near Luton, which, I'm not sure about, you know, Orlando, Hollywood, Luton.
Disneyland Luton.
Disneyland Luton.
You've always got to get a Luton jab in the episode.
Yeah, right? Well, it's not my fault they're talking about building one there.
In Rachel Reeves' speech, which I did listen to 3 times over, not because I enjoy the sound of her voice, I just wanted to get stuff right, but it was a tough listen. She said, if we can't afford to do it, we won't do it, which was an obvious rejigging of John Keynes, who was the Treasury advisor in the early 20th century, very famous, anything we can do, we can afford. Philosophy.
That sounds kind of depressing.
Saying that, I did just read one article and now I'm extremely scared that I've misinterpreted it, and actually that's not at all what he was saying, and I've just kind of thought of my own point.
That's all right. We put out a show where you put in a picture of the wrong king, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Oh, I did, yeah. Cool. No. Should we talk about that?
We should talk about
which
that.
King was it again?
Oh god, now I don't want to say because I'll get it wrong. It was George the Fourth and George the Fifth.
It was one of my darkest hours. But to be fair, I did run it by you. And he didn't recognise it either.
This is,
and we're supposed
this
to,
is classic.
Exactly, no, remember the faces of all the kings, Queenie.
Well, and I am, as I'm a researcher, yeah, probably.
Did any viewers actually write in to complain about the king mix-up?
Yes.
Mike did buy me a family tree of the kings for Christmas.
And the series gift. A big thing we're forgetting here, a big comedy elephant in the room, Liz Truss has waded in. Just when you think there's one subject, you think everyone's going, do you know what, Liz? You sit this one out, mate.
Probably not your area.
Yeah.
No, we haven't consulted Liz Truss on economics. Why haven't we done that yet?
No, well, Labour have said, and sounds fairly reasonable to me, they've said, perhaps when governments come up with economic policies and budgets, before they release it to the country and everyone judges it, they should run it by some economic financial experts. And Liz Truss is not having any of it. And she said it would put MPs in a straitjacket, by which I think she meant they wouldn't be able to do anything. Although I think a lot of people agree that when it comes to Liz Truss and economics,
she should probably be put in a straitjacket.
Yeah.
I've come up with a better safeguard. Any economic policies that a government comes up with, run it past Liz Truss. If she thinks it's a good idea, don't do it.
There was one other thing in the news. I thought one of you would bring it up, but it probably would be something we talk about because the financial stuff is quite dry. But
no, that was so interesting.
Yeah, that absolute prick, Larry the Cat, is back in the news.
What did he do? Did he run over a pedestrian?
Keir Starmer's brought his own cat into Downing Street, and apparently Larry's not taking it very well, so there's going to be a sort of, it's going to be a little cat off.
A cat fight.
He needs to take him down the thing. So. Welcome back to In the News This Week. It's now time for round two, where each of us presents a news story from the past week that we think will be perfect for this segment of Have I Got News For You. Since I'm the host, I was going to go on a power trip and go first, but Emerald, you've piqued my interest with Larry the Cat being an arsehole. So I think we're going to start with you.
Okay, yes. I have an animal-related story.
First non-old house story.
I know. Mm. R.I.P.
I'm actually gutted.
I would actually say, though, most of the action in this story does take place in an old house.
Ooh, but hello.
That's not the focus. The focus is about a new entrant into Westminster. Her name is Jenny. She's attracting a lot of attention at the moment. Mm. And she is the Lib Dem MP Steve Darling's guide dog. And there are a lot of stories about her. She has her own press officer now. She's become a social media sensation. She's got loads of fans. Mike, this is going to be your favourite part of the story, but she came across Larry the Cat on a visit to number 10 Downing Street last week. And Steve Darling said, it was a bit like when Harry met Sally. She was staring up at the window and Larry was pretending to look out, but I was told he had his eyes closed. And that, Larry, is why you're still single. What an aloof creature, not bothering to say hello to Jenny.
What kind of dog is it?
She is a golden retriever. So lovely blonde hair.
So you can see why Larry was attracted.
Yeah.
So what say?
He was playing it cool.
Can I just point out as well, like it's a dog and a cat, so they probably are going to be quite interested in each other. So I love the media talking up this Downing Street romance, but at the same time,
yeah,
they're just a dog and a cat.
Is it a really, really slow news week? Because they have nothing else to spin.
There are a lot of fun ways to compare Jenny to MPs. Like he said, she's often very keen to take me back to the chamber because she thinks I get to lie down for quite a period of time in there.
Taking the Jacob Rees-Mogg approach.
There you go. Ooh.
She's going to have the best time at the Lib Dem conference.
She's going to do paddle boarding.
I know, I was thinking just nodding off just with all the speeches.
The best lie down of her life.
Although, yeah, they'll probably go for more like a total wipeout style, won't they, in the conference. So
it reminds me as well of the opportunity to put in one of my all-time favourite Have I Got News For You jokes about a dog that become famous, and they said it'll start giving it the big I ams.
Very good. There's some other fun things about her. She's been called the 73rd Liberal Democrat MP, and she has her own press person in the Lib Dem press office who manages all her inquiries.
Oh, to be working in the Lib Dem press office.
Right? But I kind of feel bad for Ed Davey because he did all these like hazardous things trying to get attention during the election. And all Jenny has to do is just walk into the House of Commons once.
I do think Ed Davey's kind of on the level to be competing with a golden retriever. He's like really threatened by Jenny.
It'd be a close race.
I want unconditional love.
Well, if you put Jenny on a paddleboard and on a bicycle and kind of fire out of a cannon, I think she would get even more publicity.
There are a couple of other quotes, because obviously David Blunkett is now in the House of Lords and he has his guide dog Barley, and there's a Conservative peer called Chris Holmes who has a guide dog there, and apparently when they pass each other after a vote, there's a bit of growling and a little bit of knocking about.
And what do the dogs do?
There we go.
Her favourite place is the House of Commons tea rooms, where there's the possibility of finding some food on the floor, which I guess is also the only reason Boris Johnson ever went in there as well.
Although, like Jenny, he also poured and sniffed at a lot of crutches.
And I thought I would leave the final joke in this segment to David Blunkett, because when he retired from parliamentary duty in 2015, he said that he and his guide dog were bow-wowing out. And that's exactly what I'm doing now.
I'm glad he left the comments.
That was fantastic. Thank you, Emerald. That was brilliant. I'm going to go to Jack next.
So mine's also an animal-based story. But this is the news that a parrot caused a man to graduate from university 41 years late. So the question is, how did a parrot stop him? And it was in the papers this week, this guy called Johnny Clothier. This is 1983. He came back to his uni accommodation.
Sorry, Johnny what?
Johnny Clothier. Clothier?
Great name.
Clothier being like someone's wearing a jumper, but he's got two on. That's right. His vibe.
More clothier than that.
Exactly. He basically, in 1983, came back to his uni accommodation and found that his housemate's parrot had been basically unsupervised and had completely wrecked the flat. So they found an alternative place to live, but they owed the university still for that final rent. And they refused to pay it. And the university said, well, you can't be part of the graduation ceremony and whatever. And then 41 years later, they said, ah, it's all right. And they let him graduate with his son. The way they frame this story in the paper is like, oh, you know, this is lovely, isn't it? This guy getting to graduate 41 years later. But this is sort of story I loved doing on Have I Got News For You, because there's so many questions, right? There are so many questions that I'm not happy with that they've kind of just completely glossed over. Like, for one thing, right, in the article, they're talking about a parrot being left unsupervised and making this flat completely uninhabitable. How long do you have to leave a parrot for in a flat to make it, again, uninhabitable was the words? What is it doing?
I don't know, but I would watch a Mythbusters-style show where they found out.
I want someone to do it because I think this is horseshit, this story.
Yeah. Right?
Because if a parrot goes in and it's uninhabitable, that is an insane thing. How big is the parrot? Is it a 6-foot parrot? Is this parrot like lusting for sofas and just going wild? Like even if it just pooed
like
everywhere.
JP Barnes. Like
JP Vance. Yeah. Big sofa fan. The thing is that they're saying, and they gloss over us in all the stories, the guy comes into the flat, they see it's uninhabitable and they go, yeah, we're just going to fuck off and go somewhere else. No story of like how they cleared it up. They didn't say about how they were going to fix it. They didn't say about the fact of why is a parrot roaming free in their flat. And then, right, they say that the university demanded they paid the rest of the rent. Of course they did. That's perfectly justified. Why would they not have to pay for the rest of the rent? No mention of costs, of the fact they've completely fucked up this flat. They didn't have to pay for that. It's bullshit, this guy. He shouldn't be allowed to graduate. It's absolute bullshit.
The parrot excuse does sound like the first thing someone thought of in order to be like, oh, fuck, we've had a party in the flat's a mess. There's a parrot. There's a parrot. Also, there's a parrot.
Yeah. I want to go back even further. Who has a parrot at university?
So many questions. There's nothing in the articles about what's happened to the parrot. Did they take the parrot with them to the new accommodation?
I don't trust any news article about a parrot where there's not a quote from the parrot.
Yeah, on top of that, right, he joked to all the papers, the unpaid rent he saw as an ultra long-term interest-free loan, which is, you know, basically gloating about the fact that he never paid this money, despite the fact he had a parrot in inverted commas, which obviously wasn't there, just came and fucked his flat up and he left it. Sorry, it annoyed me, this story, and I had to pick it up, and maybe I shouldn't be using this as my...
Are you okay, Jack?
Yeah, I may. Basically what happened to me was at university, there was a parrot that messed up my flat. I was sorting out... Yeah, it was his parrot all along. No, but I kind of like this sort of story is good because I think it doesn't get to the detail, you know, and all the articles are the same about it, and you want those extra details. You want the panel to kind of start to investigate it and look at the way that something's been reported.
Yeah.
And sort of go, well, hold on a second, actually. We need to think about what this story's about.
I think there's a lovely little synergy there with Jenny the guide dog and a bit of an animal roundup going on.
Yeah.
So, Queenie, I think that is on to you. What have you got?
Today, I'd like to talk about white dudes.
Another type of animal.
Yeah, exactly. It's big, third animal big fan story. Of them. This is back to the presidential election. There's been a group forming, a kind of shitty Avengers called White Dudes for Harris. White Dudes for Harris is a Zoom that happened with a bunch of celebrity white dudes. They raised $4 million for the Harris campaign. I'll say some of the people who are in it. Mark Hamill, Sean Astin, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Bradley Whitford, Mark Ruffalo, J.J. Abrams, obviously of the famous franchise Joyride, Jeff Bridges. Oh, well, that's why they're the dudes then. It's because he's the dude from The Big Lebowski.
Oh, right. So actually, it's kind of a good idea in principle, but a terrible idea when it actually is put up as a title.
Yeah. It's very sunglasses emoji.
Is that what? What's wrong with sunglasses
is that bad? Yeah, hold on a second.
It's a bit embarrassing.
Is it?
Do you know what, Jack? I would take anything Queenie says about emojis with a pinch of salt, because she once told me that I used the smiling sun face one, and then she convinced me for about 6 months that you send it to someone if you were mooning them. And I had a freak out because I sent it to almost everyone in my contacts at some point.
From this one movement, there's also been quite a few other movements. White Women for Harris, who actually raised way more than the White Men for Harris. They raised $8.5 million on a Zoom. And my personal favourite, Cat Ladies for Harris, which was after the remark that J.D. Vance made, calling Harris a childless cat lady.
The thing about the White Dude for Harris thing is, like, it was on a Zoom call, right? Mm. And, like, we're on a remote call now where there's, like, four of us. Imagine having, because there's, like, 100,000 people on that Zoom call. Imagine trying to tell people to mute the microphone.
I'm just happy we found a group who identify with a worse name than Brat Girl Summer.
It was actually Brat Summer Mike, but that's fine. Don't worry about it, mate.
Okay. I literally don't give a shit.
But this story would tie in with the animal theme because of the cat ladies.
Talking about
as just
oh sorry
oh go on,
I was just saying
I was just,
no go on Jack
yeah, no, yeah.
This must have been what the Zoom call white dudes
yeah
yeah no it was like. That's exactly it, me and Mike just saying no you go trying to be overly polite.
Last and almost certainly least, it's me. It worked last week. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm sticking with the Olympics because, as I've bored Emerald with a lot this week, I actually went to the opening ceremony and got soaking wet on the Seine.
Where were you, Mike, on the Seine?
I was opposite Lady Gaga. I was on the opposite bank, like not stood next to her watching it.
And so you got to see her terrible attempts at French?
Yeah, I got to watch that.
Were they worse than your attempts at French?
Oh, yeah, but I haven't tried to sing in front of a billion people.
But it was excellent. It was wonderfully and unapologetically French. It pissed off the British. It pissed off the Americans. It pissed off everyone who was religious. Everyone sort of had an okay time. And I think the French loved it. Inspired by the Olympics, I've amalgamated some of the stories into an odd one out for you guys. We haven't done an odd one out yet on the show. So I'll give you the four. They are Norwegian Olympic swimmer Henrik Christiansen.
Yeah.
The French Minister for Sport, Amélie Oudéa-Castéra.
Like Lady Gaga's in there.
I know.
Before you do the last two, I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're all names you can't pronounce.
Well, you've picked a bad time to say it, because the next one is British sports commentator Bob Ballard. And then the fourth one is American triathlete Seth Ryder.
I think I might know a couple of them.
I know Henrik. Is that something about a muffin?
Yeah.
It's the muffin man. If you want a clue, I can give you a clue.
Yeah, do it.
No, hold on. Sorry. Yeah, Maud. I'm like, no.
If you've got it.
He's in chocolate muffins. You've got the guy, the triathlete, USA triathlete guy. Mm. So they had to postpone the triathlon, right?
Yeah.
Because of the Seine. And they were asking them about how they were going to deal with the stuff that was in the Seine. And he said he's been exposing himself to E. coli.
Microdosing. He's been microdosing.
Do you know how he's been doing that?
How's he been doing it?
Quotes, he's been building up his tolerance to E. coli. Little things like not washing your hands after you go to the bathroom. And then someone put, there was a community note on Twitter which said, this is not how you get E. coli, but you will spread other diseases.
I love the idea that you can, someone catching you not washing your hands, you can be like, sorry, I'm actually an athlete. So, yeah.
I'm preparing for my big swim.
The commentator... Is he the guy that said the sexist guy?
He got fired.
Oh, yeah.
Because he said the ladies were taking too long with their makeup or something.
They were, though. I'm joking.
Yeah, they were. I think they were celebrating their gold. And they were walking around the arena. And he said, you know what women are like, hanging around doing their makeup. So he's been dropped.
Who's the last one?
The French Minister for Sport, whose name I will not try and pronounce again.
What's her name?
Fuck you.
Is that the picture with Macron?
Yeah. Have you seen this, Queenie?
I'm going to Google it right this second.
I want to watch your face as you see it.
Oh, my God. You know what? Upon seeing that, I'm actually not very surprised. Every single photo of Macron that I have to scroll through Getty and Alamy to see if he's doing anything funny, he's inappropriately kissing people.
Really?
In like quite a sensual way.
Yeah.
It's like sensual harassment.
I don't think he's kissing her inappropriately. I think she's going for him, right?
I'm just
going
to clarify, because we are an audio podcast. So just if anyone hasn't seen this, at the opening ceremony, Emmanuel Macron, the French president, embraces Amélie Oudéa-Castéra, the sports minister, and she sort of very sensually has her hand on the back of his neck, and she's sort of kissing him on his neck under his ear. Her hands are all over him like Seth Ryder in a bathroom.
It's not weird though, because she can't be his type because they're the same age.
I reckon the link is probably that they've all fallen in love with something.
No,
I think I have a link.
Go on, Emerald.
They all got. No.
They all got devoured.
Oh, wow.
Ooh.
It's close. They've all made headlines with their mouth, except Seth Ryder, who's made headlines with his hands because he'd been running around toilet bowls.
Very good.
Oh, very good.
And then the last story, as you said, it was the Norwegian swimmer Henrik Christiansen. So he's been nicknamed the Muffin Man because he's obsessed with the chocolate muffins in the athlete's village. And he's posted 12 videos to his social media profile, even a picture of him in bed waking up with chocolate on his face.
Supposedly, that's the only thing that they like in the athlete's village, because they're all complaining about the food, right?
Yeah.
I saw a thing on at the front, I think it was maybe the front of Times, where they said that there's complaints of uncooked meat being served. I just thought, stop ordering the steak tartare. That's That's the way
he described his relationship with the muffins as really passionate. In his opening race, he finished 6 out of 8. So maybe.
What, is he a swimmer?
He's a swimmer, yeah.
And he hasn't done his events yet, but he's chowing down.
He's done one. I think he's got the relay, I think. So I'm sure his teammates are delighted.
Imagine you've trained for 4 years to do this. And the thing that trips you up is the fact that there's some muffins that you absolutely love in the obviously, a lot of people have seen Snoop Dogg. We talked about him last week. Mm-hmm. And you know he's been on NBC as a commentator. It's a couple of things I was going to give you quotes that he has done in terms of commentating on sports. Mm-hmm. And I want you to try and guess what the sport is.
Oh, brilliant.
That's fun.
Go on.
That gangster is a motherfucker. This horse is off the chain. I've got to get this motherfucker in a video.
Dressage.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, this well one,
slip and slide. You make it all the way to the Olympics and your event deals with balls and wheels and turning and all that.
Is this the blue guy in the opening ceremony?
He was actually talking about, he's watching the cycling time trial because it was wet and they kept on falling over.
Where are the balls in that? What balls is he seeing?
Yep, no, don't ask me.
I guess their lycra is very tight.
And this one. As you see, it don't stop till the casket drop. They're rocking and rolling, back and forth. Give me that. No, I need that. Nope. Over here. No, over there. What about over there? Nope. Oh. What about over there? Nope. Give me that. I need that. That too. Nope. Sit down somewhere. Wait a minute. Way up in the sky. Now down. Back up. Over there. Now over there. Get out of the way. Move. I told you we need that.
My nan's funeral if the Chuckle Brothers were the pool bearers.
That was him watching badminton.
Oh, dear.
Okay, guys, there has to be a winner. Doesn't have to be, but it seems to be what we do every week. What's your favourite round two story, Queenie?
I would actually go with the Olympics. I'm not giving you any credit for actually going out into the field and looking at Lady Gaga or whatever you did.
Going above and beyond. Emerald?
I think I'm going to go with the Olympics as well, because there were two great games there. I think, Jack, you made a mistake helping Mike out.
But actually, if anything, I think by assisting Mike, I actually turned it more into a round one story because I reckon that we would cover that in round one as Olympics because it's been a massive thing, opening ceremony. And then round two, I think you kind of would do the America stuff. We covered like a little part of that today, but I think it would be enough to definitely be a pretty full round two story.
Yeah.
Only because I think that I love the guide dog stuff, Emerald, but I think it probably would go round one politics bits.
I really enjoyed the America stuff.
It's a tie, but Queenie hasn't taken on hosting duties yet.
As this week's host, in my final act of my reign of terror, I'm going to rule that Queenie wins. You're hosting the show next week. Sucks to be you.
Get ready for a really high energy show next week.
We've been asking people to send in their questions for us, and we finally got one.
Whoa.
So here's a question from our listener. How do you choose the faces for the background of the set? I would love to know the story behind them as well.
That's a great question. It's a really fun collaborative process where the team will get together and we look at what's been in the news and what are the zeitgeisty moments in sport, politics, since we were last on air. And we come up with a list, have a good laugh, and then we whittle out all the ones that legally we wouldn't be allowed to do, which are obviously the best ones. And then we got Mickey Rain, who's been working on the show, I think possibly since series one, who does the amazing caricatures for the background. And we quite lazily just send her a list on email and she brings them to life. So we'll say, you know, Emmanuel Macron being passionately kissed might be one for next series. And she will turn it into a caricature and populate the board and puts all these headlines in. And
but they're real headlines, aren't they, Mike? They're like actual headlines.
Yeah,
the
and Mickey will put random ones in. And every now and again, the headline won't necessarily relate to the story. But every now and again, you'll come up with something libelous.
Or you'll have to move a board around because behind the guest that sat there, it just says twat over their heads because that's what's in the headline.
Yeah.
And it looks like we're calling them a twat.
Yeah.
And it depends on who the guest is, but yeah, you can't have that every time.
Thank you so much for the question. And if any of you have questions for us, please do email them to podcasts@hattrick.com. That's hattrick with two T's. Or comment on our Instagram, TikTok or X posts about the show with your question. Search Have I Got News For You and you will find us.
Make sure you're followed and subscribed to the podcast wherever you listen to it now. And we'll see you here for next week's episode. Mike, do you want to say goodbye in French? See what you've learned?
No.
Au revoir!
I hate you.
In the News This Week is presented by Jack Harris, Queenie Miller, Emerald Paston, and Mike Raymond. The producer is Diggory Waite. The engineer is John Wakefield. The executive producer is Claire Broughton. And the music is by Big George. In the News This Week is a Hattrick podcast.
People often ask me what my regular London pub is, but that assumes there's a pub I can easily return to, so please stop asking that.
London Pub Reviews, written by Paul Ewan and featuring Tim Key. A Hattrick podcast.
Did you save my seat? Why? I'm at a completely different pub now, with different seats. Catch up.
Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.